Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for June 27th, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on any items that are not on the agenda. I have a request from Bill Bookout to speak first. So,
Thank
Bill,
you.
If you'd like to do that.
Good evening. Bill Bookout, Oceano Nursery. As many of you know, I'm closing my nursery here in Oceano Down after receiving seven floods that have caused great financial losses to my business. It's unfortunate I have to do this because this was a dream I had for the community that I thought benefited the community of Oceano. A year ago, a little over a year ago, I stood before this board and I pointed fingers primarily at Oceano, OCSD, and Caltrans for the cause of my flooding. Although OCSD still is involved in that cause, my opinion of the cause has changed, and I'm not pointing my fingers directly at OCSD for their actions of putting the PVC pipe into the community's drainage outlet. Being a little bit more wise and a little bit more informed as to what's happening, I've discovered a lot of papers which were provided by the County of San Luis Obispo, and also going to the County of San Luis Obispo, I have found papers which are also in this packet that you will have in front of you, which I've given to the public. And in this packet, you'll find a permit that was issued to the County of to the Pismo Oceano Vegetable Exchange in 1977, which allowed them to build over the whole community's drainage outlet. So all the water that comes down our streets goes into a box, which is gathered, and then it's been diverted into a storage pond. Was originally 177 feet away, and now it's over 200 feet away. There was two ponds. You'll find a letter written by OCSD in 1984, and that address will address the sludge and debris that comes out of the POVI packing sheds, which OCSD refused to allow to go into its sanitary sewer system. When POVI built over the community's drainage basin, that property was owned by Southern Pacific Railroad. Southern Pacific Railroad, years later, sold that property to POVI. Southern Pacific Railroad needs to be held accountable. This is the community's natural drainage way. In the first letter, it's dated January 16, 1986, and you will remember the meeting that we had. The Department of Transportation, January 16, 1986 letter to the Pismo Oceano Vegetable Exchange, Dear Mr. Donovan, in re-drainage, as you know, Caltrans has been concerned about the effect of the elevation of your reconstructed drainage pond upon State Route 1 during heavy rain seasons. With the expansion of your vegetable processing facility, you diverted the existing flow of drainage water across your property to a sinking pond at the north edge of the property. Before the drainage facilities were rearranged, the normal storm drainage water flowed through the property and left the property at an elevation of 13.84 feet above sea level. Now that the drainage pipe has been diverted to the new sinking pond, the outflow elevation is 15.38 feet above sea level. POVI, instead of allowing water to go off their property, diverted it to a pond, which has caused sedimentation to build up in the community's drainage, which then floods Highway 1, makes Highway 1 very unsafe, unpassable for the residents and people traveling through Oceano, our fire engines. This is not right, and it goes on to state, it is unlawful for any person to do any of the following acts. Obstruct any natural water course so as to prevent or impede, restrict the natural flow of waters from any state highway into and through such water courses unless other adequate and proper drainage is provided. We've been sold up a river here in Oceano. The next letter, February 18th, 1986. Under the terms of your lease, this was written from Southern Pacific Railroad Corporation to POVI. Under the terms of your lease, you have the responsibility to comply with any governmental laws or regulations with respect to the use of the property. Accordingly, we would appreciate you working with Caltrans to correct any drainage problems that were caused by the expansion of your plant. The following letter is July 24th, 1986. It was written by the Department of Transportation. It was received by the County of San Luis Obispo on July 24th, 1986. And I take it back, it was written on July 23, 1986. And this is to Southern Pacific Railroad. I'm only going to read you one section in here, but it says, these changes were made within railroad property by the tenant and consist of, one, placing a 90-degree angle at the that we are clogged up in drainage. It's unfortunate that my business has to close. I have some financial difficulties from this last flood. My flood insurance, which I was supposed to have collected, farmer's flood insurance, still has not paid me what they stated they were going to pay for my flood insurance in January. This has affected my relationship with First Bank and San Luis Obispo. First Bank and San Luis Obispo has attempted and is attempting to foreclose on my property, not just my Oceana Nursery property, but my Pismo Beach property as well. Right now, I have deposited over $50,000 in First Bank and trying to get out of this foreclosure. However, I have not received a forbearance agreement written from them as of yet. So my property is in jeopardy, and I'm calling out to tell people, this is not right, what has happened to me. I'm just a small business person. My business, I thought, was a good business for the community of Oceano. I still think it's a good business for Oceano. It's unfortunate I have to close my doors and go out of business because of flooding. Now, if you want to make a little gossip story out of the rest of this, if you go to the back of the thing, and this is my attorney, Scott Radovich, who I am actually parting ways with because we need to go a little bit farther than our court date is in February 18th. My attorney, Scott Radovich, has been trying to get the Oceano Community Service District attorneys, which is not Alex Seamus, it's Phillips and Associates in San Luis Obispo, to get off the case. They hired Robert Weeks at the beginning when they took over, and Robert Weeks was at that time engaged to my bookkeeper, Jennifer Beeling. Jennifer Beeling and Robert Weeks are now married. Robert Weeks was involved in this case until, you'll see the very last letter, around April 24th, 2007. Jennifer Beeling was able to lose my QuickBook data and then attempted to rebuild it, which was put into our depositions. I'm not happy with that. I don't want to have to tell you about that, but it's part of it. You will also see in here a letter from Glenn Pretty. Glenn Pretty stood before this board on January 10th, 2006, 2005, and talked about the drainage. He did not talk about these letters here. I realize my time is up, but one last thing. That Glenn Pretty letter is dated September 25th, 1987. On September 25th, 1987, a gentleman by the name of $18,915. That comes to a total sum to fix the drainage problem in 1987 to $43,295. The following letter past that is a letter written by Clinton Meling with Glenn Pretty's name below it and Noel Keynes below that. It's dated March 15th, 1991. In here, inverse condemnation, you take a person's property by putting water or just taking their property in eminent domain. It says, including drainage into the private property, major problems involving large amounts of water runoff. Ultimately, this letter says that the property I owned, they were planning on taking it in at that time. The 90s was a drought season. We did not flood in the 90s. I have no recollection of my property flooding in the 90s. I did not own my property until 2000. I did not think my property would flood until 2004 when it flooded. It's flooding now, and I know the problem, and I hope that this board just pays attention. I hope that the media will look at this and bring it to light. I live here in Oceano. I live downstream of where this flooding takes place, and where I live is in direct path of the Povey properties. I feel like I'm in danger down there. I no longer feel safe in my own home. I have to drive by the Proby property every day. One thing that should be looked at here, intimate domain, when this finally comes about, Proby's property where they built over the community's drainage should be nothing more than a pond that takes the community's drainage off of it. And if intimate domain does take place, it should not be the property that I own on this side of Highway 1. It should be their property, which they built over the community's drainage outlet. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing no other public comment. Moves to item number 4, board member items for discussion. Start with Vern. Do you have anything,
Nothing
Vern?
Nothing at this time.
Barbara?
Nothing tonight.
Pamela?
Nothing.
Bill?
Nothing.
Okay. Two items. One thing that was distributed to us earlier was a letter regarding NIMS, incident management, where self-certification's been. And one other suggestion, I was just noticing that I saw in the that Dan Silvera's back with the district, and I guess request that we make an announcement or introduce new people when they come on board to,
sure.
So that the directors get to see who the
faces,
who
the faces
get
are
to
important.
See faces. That is important.
That's a good idea.
Dan is the gentleman who was with us about,
he was with us about
2 years ago?
8 years up until about 2 or 3 years ago, and then he went on to a couple of other agencies, and he's now back with us, and according to Phil, he has been very helpful in certain areas that he's especially skilled at, and he also has the appropriate water certifications, and those are hard to come by.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad he's back.
Phil is too.
Okay, that brings us to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes from June 13th. Were there any comments or questions from the board?
I had one correction.
Okay.
And that was in the last page about the attendance to welcoming Kato Asajian to the Coastal Commission, and it says Directors Dahl and Dean indicated they would be pleased to attend, and it's actually Directors Dahl and Mann who are pleased to attend.
And I argued that all morning long, and once again, I have proven to be absolutely incorrect. The correction of the minutes is necessary. It should be made. I had to go back and watch the television production before I could convince myself that I was wrong, but I was. And I think the reason that I did that is because after we decided who was going, Director Dean was the one that was asking me the questions of where it was located and which place. And so in my mind, I translated, she's going. So we'll correct that.
You can go if you want to, Pamela.
Oh, I plan to go, but no, I'll let you attend the breakfast. I do plan to go to the next meeting that they have, though.
And I would point out that while we were efficient enough to get both sets of minutes inside the agenda, we weren't efficient enough to get them both on the outside of the agenda.
That's right. June 13th.
I can't do it until we have public comment. I guess I could put the motion up there. I know that we approve the June 13th 2007 minutes with corrections.
Pamela, you're going to need to speak up a little bit. I'm having a really hard time hearing tonight. Thank you.
Do you want me to say that again?
Please.
No, I'm not. Yes.
Director Dean has moved that the minutes of June 13th be approved.
Second.
And seconded by Director Mann. Is there public comment on the minutes of June 13th? Okay, hearing none. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. There are no reports tonight. Item 7 is fire items. The first is 7A, consideration of the general manager's recommendation to appoint an interim fire chief.
Yes, we have a need to have an individual appointed as an interim fire chief, and your staff contacted a couple of individuals he knows that has the appropriate experience, and we met with the fire committee last night, and it's a recommendation of myself and the fire committee the board consider appointing former Roy Grandy and Grover Beach fire chief Doug Hamp as the interim fire chief. I have spoken with him a number of times during the week and as well as this afternoon, and he is very excited about coming on board. I would suggest you make that appointment effective Monday. And he is agreeable to that, and that he be authorized to work the same number of hours as the previous chief at the same pay. He shares my philosophy about us interims doing service, not getting wealthy.
I thank you very much. I very much appreciate that and appreciate your and his philosophy very much. So that would be Monday, July 2nd, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Just in time for the fun 4th of July.
For the fun 4th of July. I very much appreciate Chief Amp's willingness to help us.
He has a special feeling for the fire departments in South San Luis Obispo County, as he expressed to me. And he's very interested in helping us out through this period.
I've had a number of dealings with him over the years related to fire.
What exactly has happened and what's gone on? So I'd like to know what brought us to this point.
I'm not in the dark. I can see what's going on. I don't know who you're talking about, but...
Yeah. I think what we had was a resignation of the previous fire chief. And that brings us to the point of needing this. We could go into some detail if you'd like to do that. I don't think that's appropriate.
But well, I think the question I'm have in my mind is the question on whether the fire chief was threatened with his job or resignation after the board had already given direction of which way the board would plan to go, and that this was not something that the board put together to go in that direction with. So that's kind of the bottom line of my question.
The as you know, there was no board action taken. There was an opportunity offered prior to the necessity for board action to come up.
An opportunity offered on behalf of the board? Or on behalf of who?
On behalf of at least two members of the board.
Fern, to clarify something, I read a resignation. I can't even pronounce that. How do you say that? Resignation letter. I read a resignation letter, and that's what I saw.
Yes, and if I'm, and I don't know, because I have not been privy to this action, nor has the board as a whole been privy to this action, I don't know what the story is behind it. I don't know if that letter was signed or given under duress or what has happened. So that's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, you might discuss that with the individual and find out.
I have a comment on that. In our last meeting, we discussed the approach we were going to take with the problem with the CalPERS and eligibility of firefighters on CalPERS. And we have in our minutes what action we were going to take. And then there was a change before our board meeting.
But anyway, on to the next item. For the next point of business under this item.
The item that's before us right now is the consideration of the general manager's recommendation to appoint Doug Hamp as the interim fire chief.
Do we need a motion?
We do indeed.
I so move that we appoint Doug Hamp as the interim fire chief.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion from the board?
Your staff would assume that that also applies with July 2nd and the salary and the hours and all of that other stuff.
Monday, July 2nd. Is there public comment on this item? Kathy.
Kathy Young, Oceano.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'm just of the same curiosity because of what was in the paper. So it either is Mr. Steinhauser was lying or not. He said he was told he would be terminated unless he resigned. So I'm just curious, was he lying to the newspaper? Or was he told he'd be terminated if he didn't resign? I mean, I just want a yes or no answer, no dancing around it. I'm just curious.
The issue of what happened was, is Director Mann and myself discussed an opportunity that we suggested that he would consider resigning lest we bring the matter before the full board to spare the individual and the department any potential embarrassment. He chose to resign at his discretion based on that. Our option was to bring the thing before the full board. So whatever happened in the papers, I'm not going to call anybody a liar or tell them that they were inaccurate. Things in the paper are not always accurate, but they do the best they can. So that is my version of what happened, and you're welcome to discuss that with any other parties that are involved.
Well, I can just understand the two board members that weren't consulted first why they would feel that way. I think you would have felt the same way if they had gone without you and did the same thing without you having any knowledge or being discussed with it.
That's a fair comment, but there was also a meeting notice to take up this item.
That came the day after. I got that notice. It came the day after I'm on TV to announce that I'm now the grandmother of twin boys that were born June 11th and June 12th.
Does it make them twins when they're born two different days?
One was born quarter to midnight, and one was born quarter after midnight.
Wow.
And they are the cutest two boys that were ever born in the world, so I want to tell that to the television world. Thank you.
You didn't tell us their names, Kathy.
Their names are Ralph Joshua, which they're going to call him RJ, and Blake Hunter. And they weighed 7'4 and 6'13, and they were a month early, so my poor daughter-in-law had a pretty rough time of it. She had the first baby naturally and the second baby cesarean, so they did everything differently.
Wow.
Should have brought pictures.
Oh, I have them. Anyone who wants to look, they're welcome to. Thank you.
Get the video of this meeting and save it until they're 21.
Actually, we can get her a video copy of this if she would like.
Yes, so my children can see their resume.
Thank you for your comment, Kathy. I appreciate that.
They'll be talking about that forever.
I want to be mindful of your comments. I'll try to do a better job in the future.
Well, I just know I don't want to be going back like it was.
The problem is that if we all put our minds together and work together on an issue, that other ideas come up. If this would have come up in a closed-door session where it was the board decision to do of what was going to be done before, without ever approaching the fire chief, there we would have had the opportunity to say, hey, you know, we are in the middle of trying to end up with a general manager, and we don't want to leave this district with no general manager and no fire chief at the same time. And there was no reason that this action couldn't have been postponed a couple months if the board had decided that that's the direction the board wanted to go. That's why the five of us get all five of us get our time for bringing what we have to the table, so that the decisions are made in the company of the five of us and not by a part of the board. Then this, I believe, is what they refer to as not as where we should not be micromanaging.
May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay, and thank you for the suggestion, Barbara. Can we have Captain Bookout's? I'm sorry.
I would not mind being captain, but
Captain
I'm not ready yet.
just a quick update from since last board meeting with the fire department. We're now up to 410 calls, and just one significant call to talk about in the last 2 weeks was we had a little fire out here off of Mountain View. I think it's called Mountain View. It's the road just before you go up the steep part of Halcyon, off to the right. It's a dirt road, goes out that way. That's actually CDF territory. But we got requested for a Type 3 to go out there and fight a grass fire. Turned out to be very difficult to get to. One fire engine got stuck, which blocked the rest of the fire engine, so they had to hike in. Laid quite a bit of hose. Had to wrap around. There's a lake out there. Can't remember the name of the lake. There's a couple lakes out there. You don't see them from the road. So they had to lay hose around the lake and fight the grass fire that way. And our engine was there, and our two fire personnel spent 6 hours on that fire and got it handled pretty well. And thanks to one of our pieces of equipment, we have a floato pump. It's a floating pump. Basically, it's on a little, like a little boat. And dropped that in one of the ponds. We were able to provide water to the fire for all day with that pump. So it made things a lot easier. So they worked pretty hard that day, and that's the most significant call in the last 2 weeks that we've had. So.
And this thing had to walk in a mile or more.
They had to walk quite a ways.
Yeah, with full gear and everything.
By the time they were finished, they had 5,000 feet of hose on the ground, not just off of our engine, but there were several engines there. We were there helping CDF. Mm-hmm. So
it was not our engine that got stuck, right?
No. Correct.
We want to say that.
It's possible that the other lake you're talking about is called White Lake, which is the opposite of Black Lake, which is on the other side of the mesa.
Could be.
That's all private property out there, isn't it?
And handbook.
Yes, we have wrestled this book to death. We have made a number of changes and corrections, and we have the document basically in a position to adopt. I understand President Hill might have a couple of other suggestions that he's finally had an opportunity to look at it. But we also needed to consider the adoption of the document you have in front of you, which is the district-wide drug free workplace policy, because it is referred to in the handbook and with a date for adoption. So we would suggest first that you adopt the handbook subject to ultimate approval of this document when you get to it on the agenda. In addition, we discussed at the fire committee last night that there is a section in here that's on page 27 relating to setting out various levels of reserves in the district. And the fire committee felt that this was a little premature because this is part of this discussion that's going on with the other agencies, and that it was in here anticipating that we would be further along in that process, and we haven't gotten there yet. And so we would suggest that that be excised or taken out of this document at this time, and we can do that verbally and then go ahead and get it approved with all the corrections and clean up all the typos and all the other things. And with that, I would suggest that President Hill, if he has any substantive comments that he'd like to see changes made, that we talk about them and get them taken care of. And then go ahead and please let's adopt it.
Okay. The only substantive comment that I have is relating, it's on page 2, section 3, 100.3, appointment and term of office of the fire chief. And in the center of the paragraph, it says, said appointment shall be for a term that coincides with the general election of the district board. I would suggest that that be changed to alternates with the general election of the district board, such that the board at each election has oncoming members that would not be familiar with the incumbent in the position. And this would allow at least a minimum of a year before a board member would be put in the position of voting on.
Had not been in here before. It was something that we had never, as a board, talked about or voted on. It isn't that they won't go back in.
The 215.2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And it can certainly be done outside of the manual, yeah, just by
it could just be added later.
And your staff certainly believes in the concept behind this is excellent. We just have to figure if it's going to work within our organization or not.
So the proposal then would be to approve the document as amended, if I understand it correctly, with the elimination of section 200.15.2, which is on page 27,
right,
and continues on to page 28,
right,
down to section 16.
Right. And also adopt it contingent upon your later adoption of the district-wide drug-free policy that also needs to be placed within the document.
And that will be the same drug policy that's throughout the district, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And that's referred to here as Appendix G, if I...
That's correct.
Okay.
And all the other appendices have already been previously approved by your board.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the Fire Department Handbook as shown, I believe that's draft 4-6-2007, with the modifications discussed. Are there public comments on this item? Any other board discussion?
I'd like to thank Arnie for his long work on this and appreciate what you've done for us with this. Thank you.
We only got one more task, and let's go back and put it back together again.
It's been a long haul. We started this in January.
Yes.
Look how long it
it's
takes
not easy.
To get there.
And you, when you start following it through with, yeah, some of the codification issues that you want to talk about later on, that's even going to be a tougher nut to crack.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But very necessary.
I totally agree.
Congratulations. Oh, not yet, but very shortly.
Okay, may I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Public comment?
I asked for public comment.
I'm sorry.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. The emergency that we declared after the San Simeon earthquake regarding cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains. I think the board is sufficiently knowledgeable about this item. Is there any public comment on this item? Any other comment or questions from the board? Okay, with that, we'll look for a motion.
I move that we continue the emergency cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 9A, consideration of adoption of a district drug-free workplace policy.
Yes, you have at your position the copy of the district drug-free work policy, and this is the one that Alex basically has reviewed and commented on.
I reviewed and commented on it some time ago. I didn't bring that file with me tonight, but to the best of my recollections, the comments that I made at that time have all been incorporated.
Yes. And if they're not, then we can talk about that and deal with it. But I apologize for getting it to the rest of the board members at such a late hour, but we have been somewhat occupied trying to get things done. So I would suggest and recommend that you follow and along with my recommendation and the recommendation of the two members of the fire committee who reviewed it last night, and if, I'll be happy to go into any detail. It's fairly simple, straightforward, and it basically says you can't be working or you can't be on district property if you're drinking or on drugs. If you're on prescribed medication and it is affecting you, you will need to be removed from the work site. And it mainly is an effort, first of all, to keep safety amongst all the employees. Secondly, there's a part of the policy that relates to encouraging people who are having problems with drinking and drugs to seek treatment, and the district does not pay for the treatment but offers them opportunity to know about where they can go, and that also includes their family members. So it's a fairly consistent with what's current in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It also provides some teeth in terms of opportunities for inspection and searches if it is suspected that someone is using and abusing.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the proposed drug-free workplace policy. Is there further comment or questions from the board?
I've got a typo I'll give to you after the meeting.
Okay. Any comment from the public on this item? Okay, may I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Brings us to item 9B, proposed OCSD Resolution 2007-11, commending Commander Martin Basti and the deputies and staff of the Sheriff's South Station. And this, I had this right here. Thank you. The proposed resolution reads as follows. Resolution commending Commander Martin Basti for distinguished service to the community of Oceano. Whereas the Oceano Community Services District has been blessed during the past year with very special neighbors, and whereas these special neighbors are represented by Commander Martin Basti and the representatives of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department serving in the Oceano South Station. Whereas the community of Oceano and its over 7,000 citizens are appreciative of the service, security, and protection provided by these exemplary employees of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department. Whereas their location near the Oceano Community Services District offices provides a greater level of service to the citizens of the Oceano community. Whereas it is hoped that this relationship with Commander Martin Basti and the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department will be continual and long-lasting. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District hereby extend our appreciation to Commander Martin Basti and the members of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department, and does also recognize them for being very special neighbors. So that is our proposed resolution. Comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public? I would look then for a motion to adopt.
So moved.
And I would like the opportunity, if I may, to second that myself. And I would propose a unanimous second, if we could.
Yeah, can we do that?
If that's
motion maker?
Yes.
That's acceptable to the motion maker.
Okay. It looks like it's been unanimously seconded. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Thank you. An election for special district representatives, and whereas Director Mann is an exemplary member from our own community, that we have an opportunity to support Director Mann for re-election to the LAFCO board. And I would so move.
Second.
Is there any comment or questions from the board?
I think it would be a wise decision on our part.
Thank you.
Thank you. Comment or questions from the public on this item?
Okay.
I'd like to speak to that. I have my good friend William Miller at Garden Farms, and I'd like to support him. And so that's what I will be doing.
Okay. In that case, would like to ask for a roll call, please, Gina.
President Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Brookhouse?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
No.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Motion passes. Discussion regarding interview process for candidates for the position of general manager.
As we did last meeting, I put this on here in case there was any late-breaking need for making adjustments, and there aren't.
Okay.
Yes, we're as prepared for tomorrow as we can be. And hopefully we will have all of the candidates who are scheduled are going to be here. And we start at 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And we will go through the process till late afternoon. At that point in time, we will then bring you information and get you to meet with the candidates. And you are reminded that we have interviews scheduled here with the top candidates at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And I presume that the interviews will probably go from 1 to about 5 o'clock. I have absolutely no idea whether the board who's sitting tomorrow will forward you 2, 3, or 4 recommended candidates. I would suspect the 4 would be the top limit that they would probably recommend to you. We have an interesting day tomorrow, so we'll be busy.
In other words, we should not call you tomorrow.
You may call me all you wish.
Okay, thank you for the report. Item 9E, update regarding the proposed budget for fiscal year 2007-2008.
Okay. Your staff can report to you that we have been diligently working on this issue also. And we are getting right to the point of having a document ready for me to edit and fine-tune. It should be ready by the end of this week. We anticipate Gina and I working on it the week of where 4th of July falls in the middle, and we will probably get you a copy in draft form by Friday, I hope. It'll be Friday the 6th. I would recommend that we try to schedule at least 3 meetings. And I also tell you that the philosophy that I'm going to use behind this year's budget presentation to you will be one that you need to kind of look at it in more broad brush strokes, with the concept that we will bring this to you for consideration and adoption, knowing full well that you may need to come in and do a mid-year adjustment once your new general manager gets on board and gets his feet wet. We also have a few things in the process that we don't know yet where they're going. I hesitate to budget for items that may never come to fruition, and it just holds money back that should be available during the year for other things. But you may also have to consider using some additional reserves if you need to budget important things as you decide them along the way. Because there's an awful lot going on out there right now, including fire issues, including work with the water desalinization plant, including work with some of the other monitoring programs that we're a part of relating to water. And so these will come to fruition after this budget is adopted. And I hesitate to just load up the budget with imaginary items until we know they're there. Mm-hmm. But I want to also give you more than ample opportunity. I would suggest that we can schedule 2 or 3 meetings and consider actual adoption of the budget at the second meeting in July, which would be July the 25th. That would be my goal, to get this to you, to have a special meeting. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you in my weekly report, if I get time to write one this week, if you have any personal conflicts that you know about. If you know now and you can tell me, I can stay away from those.
Well, we were going to get the budget. We're supposedly going to get the budget on Friday after 4th of July.
Right.
Which is, what, the 6th, I guess. I'm out of town that weekend. And okay. If I come in and get that on Monday, I'm not prepared to go to a meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday that week.
Won't work.
I'm sorry.
So, that's okay.
Because I'm the nitpicker on that anyway.
It's not a problem, and we can meet multiple nights in the same week. That's not a problem at all, other than the fact that I'm getting old and it's hard to do, but we can do it. Suggest perhaps maybe July the 16th?
Fine.
Wednesday the 18th? Thursday the 19th? Sunday morning.
We don't want to make a religion out of the budget.
But we need to get at least, I'm thinking we're going to need to at least have 3 meetings at some point during the time before the adoption. And frankly, if we don't adopt it on the 25th, as long as we get it adopted in the month of July, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I share Director Mann's concern with adequate time to review and make sure that we have plenty of time to review it and know where the money's going.
And my question of the 16th, 18th, and 19th, this will be all 5 of us together?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. I think that might work better than the way we've done it in the past.
And I know you've had budget committee or something,
yeah.
But I think because the way that things have been going, I think it would be work best if we all 5 were together.
Yeah.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Excellent.
Going to be run similar to the goal-setting meeting?
Yeah, probably so, except okay. Publicly.
Well, they were public.
Oh, that's a public meeting, too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've got green.
The only consideration that I'd put on the table for myself is Thursdays generally are bad days for me. If that don't let that keep you from putting them on Thursdays, because if that day works for you better than anything else, I will change my plans.
Just a question for the 5 of you, and Vern will certainly try to do that.
And I will work around. What days of the week are those?
Tuesday.
Monday and Wednesday. 16th is a Monday. In my calendar, anyway.
And what time?
Probably 5:30.
Okay, it'll be. I can get there as soon as I can.
We can do it at 6. At 6 or 6:30. I'm just trying to get you home in time to go to bed. Gina just mentioned to me that the 18th is sanitation district, so we can do it. We need to do it a little later that day.
Mm-hmm.
Sanitation meets at 6 or 6:30?
6 o'clock, and it will be over by 7.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try this one more time. 16th is a Monday, the 18th is a Wednesday, and the 23rd is a Monday. And that'll get us 3 meetings before the 25th.
Okay, even if I'm not here at the very beginning of that, it would be probably all right.
And so you're looking at, is 5:30 going to be going to work?
We're going to try to go for 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. 6 p.m.
On the first one?
Oh, yes.
And then on the 18th with sanitation?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 p.m.
And on the 23rd?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. And we always can open the session not get too in-depth in it, waiting to get for you to be here if you're not able to make it right at 6.
6 p.m. should be no problem.
Okay.
And we could consider adopting it on the 25th after we've had those 3 sessions.
Okay. If that's agreeable to everyone. Do we need any action to establish that schedule, or... No. We have to do is post the meeting.
So write it in your calendar. That's the action that needs to be taken.
Okay.
So we'll agendize it in proper form.
Okay, so to inform the public, then that would be Monday the 16th at 6 p.m., Wednesday the 18th at 7 p.m., and Monday the 23rd at 6 p.m.
Right.
Okay. We'll have the sanitation district's liability insurance policy, and we got a report on the fixed film reactor, which is the one that they thought they were going to have a major bearing problem with. That bearing problem, there is a bearing problem, but it's not as significant as was originally believed. And they believe that they will be able to operate that for a fairly significant length of time with more frequent oil changes to allow a scheduled service outage that can be arranged with the regulatory agencies, and hopefully we'll be able to schedule that such that there's no fines or liability that would apply because it would be a scheduled maintenance outage. And they also talked about the fats, oils, and grease program that Tom Zander came and presented to us at the last meeting. I mentioned Arnie's concern that the billing might be done by the district, by the OCSD, rather than the sanitation district. I discussed that a little further with John Wallace, and the sanitation district has no mechanism for external billing, so they would rely on the parent agencies to do billing. This is something that ties in with what you just mentioned a minute ago, where the staff is getting more and more things that they have to deal with basically little to no compensation to do it, but more importantly, no more time to do it. So that's still, they still had a couple of meetings to go with. I think they had made their presentation as of the last meeting to Grover Beach, but they were still waiting to do that for Arroyo Grande.
What I had heard is that there was some changes to the agreement. Whether it will be enough to constitute it being brought back to you, I don't know. I haven't found out what those are yet. I think I read it in a newspaper that there were some changes.
One thing that they were considering was the mechanism. They were just going to give us a blanket amount to bill, whereas the discussion that was presented to us said that each individual place might have to have re-inspections and perhaps several re-inspections, and each of those would involve a fee. And they hadn't had any formal mechanism for apportioning.
You assisted with the CDF. We've talked about our new fire chief. But what I'd like to mention is our fire department is always training. Last night when I drove home, the fire department was training down the street from my house, and I appreciate seeing the training that they're doing for our firefighters. We see them training oftentimes in other areas of our community, and it's good to see them out there doing the training that they're doing to protect us and training new people.
Okay. Vern.
Yes. Okay, I attended the Airport Land Use Commission meeting on June 20th at the Board of Supervisors chambers. And during the staff updates, the commission was updated on construction and so that's going on the airport in San Luis Obispo, and they're doing some fill along the runway exit, and that should be finished by mid-September. And then they're, over the next 2 years, they're going to be constructing a new parking structure there by the airport, going to be constructing internal roads on the airport, and a large structure to support rental cars. So that'll be happening over the next 2 years, and expected to be finished in about 2 years. There is, as everyone knows, by now there's a airport land use plan for the Paso Robles Airport. There's an airport land use plan for this now for the Oceano Airport as of 2 years ago, or 2 months ago. It's been updated from an old plan that was in effect for a few decades earlier. And there's also an airport land use plan for San Luis Obispo area airport. And within those plans, or as part of those plans, there's sections of the town that has their own sub-plan or plan within that plan, something along those lines. And so they're doing a redevelopment plan on Broad Street area. And so the city and not its own airport land use plan, but parts of the airport land use plan will be part of that new document. That's the way I understood it to be. Then in Paso, for all of you people who like to RV, there was the approval of a new 600 space RV resort on 160 acres of property that was zoned agricultural, and they're rezoning it for parks and open space that came before the Airport Land Use Commission, and it was approved for the rezoning as being consistent with the airport land use plan. So they're looking at putting in a new RV resort not too far away from the Paso Robles Airport. The next meeting will be on Wednesday, July 18th at 1:30 p.m. in the County Board of Supervisors chambers for anybody interested in attending. That concludes the Airport Land Use Commission report. Then I also attended the Oceano Advisory Council, and we had reports there on the different things that are going on in the community. There was the same presentation that was given here earlier by Hugh Gilson on the referral on the mobile home park conversion was before the commission there, and the commission had decided to take the information, review it, and bring it back at the next meeting. There was an update on the Old Juan's Cantina parking lot. A little bit of changes wanted to be done there by the county. The state parks restroom addition out on the beach was looked at again. And it had already been approved, but we just looked at it as an update. And the boardwalk in Los Osos, Oso Flaco, so a misprint on here, Oso Flaco area to raise the boardwalk and some of the changes that we were looking at. And with that, the meeting ran until about 10 p.m. that night. And we set up another meeting for looking at bylaws additionally that will be next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. here in the boardroom if it's available. Yeah, one minor detail, huh? If not, we will find a room somewhere. That's basically what happened at the Oceano Advisory Council. And that's it for that one. I don't have anything else to report at this time.
Hey, Director Dean.
I attended Zone 11A Advisory Committee meeting 6/19. And we have a fish and game approval for veg maintenance, vegetation clearing of the creek. We have an interesting item they've added. Fish and Game has allowed us to use a backhoe with a clamshell from the top of the levee to clean out larger debris. We've never seen that in any permit before. So this will be helpful with the big stuff that you don't have to lug out. Red-legged frogs are very big in our creek, and we have training of the biologists, and that's going to be happening the 23rd of July. They are going to start work on the vegetation maintenance, hopefully July 16th. We're still waiting on the coastal waiver to be able to continue work in the coastal zone, which is about from the railroad bridge down to the beach. And that's always difficult. They always wonder why we have to continually cut back the willows in the creek. They grow really, really fast. Sure, that's why.
Sure do.
We are going to go ahead and proceed with limiting access to the levees. We're going to put in two. These are humongous big gates that I think the Forest Service uses these, so they have a design for them. It must be an 8-inch round pipe that they use for the gate. These cost $10,000 to build. We are going to build two new gates. They are going at the 22nd Street to prevent tire erosion and so forth. We're also going to be looking at repairing the defunct gate at Guyton Crossing on the north side. And that repair of a gate is $1,500. So we've got $22,500 in gate costs. We're waiting to install two more gates until we may be able to get grant money for that. It's Integrated Regional Water Quality Management Plan grant money. And so we're looking at filling the tops of the berms, fixing our flap gates, and installing two more gates. And we would get that money, we think, next spring or fall to be able to do the rest of that work. The other thing that has been taking up a lot of time with both the task force and the Zone 11A is we are going to proceed with requests for qualifications for the environmental, these would be environmental companies that would do what we need to get our permits for work in the creek. So the request for proposal process will take about 6 weeks. It is very similar to what we are trying to do here with the GM process. And it's an involved, long process with many people giving their input. So that will be starting. We have a draft proposal for the RFQs, request for qualifications, in which they tell us why they should be selected to do the work for us. And we're looking in particular, like here, for someone that can work with the community, can speak our language when they need to, and speak the technical jargon when they need to. So that's kind of what's going on with Zone 11A. A lot of work going on there. And that completes my report.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Barbara.
I attended LAFCO. Napomo was first up. A couple of years ago, there were three developments that were waiting to be annexed into Napomo, and the deal was they could not be annexed until they had water. As everyone knows, we took in last month, or let them get water, and this last one we did this week. Some members of the commission felt that a rule's a rule, and this shouldn't be waived. But if you didn't let them get water from Napomo, and they were right on the line, you know, it's just the water, the line runs right in front of their property, they would simply form a mutual water company. And when you have a mutual water company, you have no control of the amount of water that's been being taken out of the ground. They're getting, by going through Napomo, we're able to monitor, and it reduces the amount of water that they'll be using. And Napomo, that's the end of, there will be no more exceptions. Well, we say that all the time, but hopefully there won't be any more exceptions on that. And then next up was Morro Bay. There was a lengthy discussion with Morro Bay. They're right now dealing with their sphere of influence, the update that's done every 5 years. And Morro Bay's kind of, their sphere doesn't go outside of their city limits. That's just the way they set it up. And they wanted a number of areas around there. One of them that they wanted in their sphere is the Chevron property going towards Cayucas. And staff felt that should be limited. They wanted to add a small piece down by the bay, which staff felt that's good. They should have that. So we dealt with that. And we had a large contingency of dog lovers there because right now they walk the dogs on the Chevron property right down at the beach when you're going to Cayuga. There's a little strip. Well, the highway is in the middle, so you've got Chevron property here, and you have this little bitty strip of Chevron property on the beach. And so I suggested that we pull that out, the dog area out, and make that a separate study area for the sphere so that could be included so they could still have their dogs, a place to walk the dogs. And they also, a gentleman from the mobile home park on 46 is wanting to be able to tie into the sewer and water. And if he does, then that... You know, it's not contingent up to Morro Bay city limits. And if you let it work out nicely there, and everybody will be happy. And that's what went on at LASCO. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any board member comments, questions on the reports?
Actually, if I could go back and... if we could go back to 10C, and I'd like to give an additional report that I didn't give at that time.
Okay,
please. That's acceptable to the board.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Today we were up at the Board of Supervisors offices and fulfilled the direction of the board to talk to the supervisors about the sale of the property, the beach, and to the state. And again, so people understand, the sale has nothing to do with the use or what use the beach has. It's just who owns the property. Doesn't even have to do necessarily with who operates the property. It's just, is the state going to own the property and operate it, or is the county going to own the property and the state operate it? So it doesn't change anything other than ownership of the property. And thing that everybody will have noticed if they saw or was at the meeting where we talked about who should own the property of the is that the people on regardless of what side of the issue of any other issue is on the beach, everybody seemed to be in favor of local control. And so we brought that to the supervisors, and they after conversations with them, they had a much better picture of the situation that we are in, and what and how we feel, and how Oceano is looking at this. And to me, it appeared that they are thinking a lot along the same lines, but there's still, you know, there's still no way of knowing one way or the other. At the end of this, how it's going to come out. It's nothing that is going to be happening over the next few months. It's going to be down the line before a decision is made. And Pamela was with us on this excursion today, so Pamela, you might want to add something to that.
Thank you, Pamela, and thank you, Vern, for representing the board. Before the Board of Supervisors, appreciate your taking the position there again.
I have a couple of questions. I don't care if Pamela or Vern could answer this. Did they talk at all about, is there pressure from the state for them to hurry up and make a decision?
Oh, yes. Yep.
I mean, to do it.
Yeah, they're not going to call for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I wanted to
know.
No. You know, I mean,
that's not going to be a criteria for them at all, which was very refreshing to know that they were not going to let that happen.
The state is holding out the carrot that the money is set aside for them in this budget, and it will disappear after the budget is over. Well, you know, let's say nobody's putting much of any value on that carrot.
Good. Mm-hmm. Now, let's see, Pamela. You're talking about spending the money for the gates and the things on the levee. When the vote went through for the taxes for the folks down there to pay, and it was one fee for this year, and then the next year it almost doubles?
No, it doesn't double. It's slightly, but not doubling.
Okay, so is that where you're getting these extra dollars, the increase in the taxes?
No, this is extra money we had this year. We had $80,000 extra in reserves, and we're going to use 22.5 of it.
Okay.
And then we're going to rely next year on getting a grant to help us. And we're also looking into, I've run across someone who has experience with Coastal Conservancy and knows how to write grants for those and would give us samples and has a person that we can talk to. So I put Julie Thomas of Coastal RCD in touch with that person. And things are kind of falling into the grant writing area, too.
That's very
so
good.
So that's what we're working on, as much as we can, as many ways as we can to even pay for this environmental document, which is going to take a lot of money over many years.
Yeah.
So you won't see. What you'll see is it's all going into work for studies and documents and permits and years. And I'm talking probably 3 years.
Yeah. Well, there has not been any discussion on that at the Airport Land Use Commission because that's not something that they do or would be involved in. But that would be the next logical step to happen.
Would that be at Oceano Advisory to find out about that?
That would be a good...
Because that seemed to be where we dealt with a lot of it the last time.
That would be good for the Ocean Advisory Council to deal with that issue and to find out about it. It would be good for this board to find out about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
As well as anyone else that'd be interested in knowing.
Because I think this, as it stands, the specific plan, certain parts of it would be no good now.
Correct.
And then my other question, when you said they're putting the mobile home park up near Paso, is it really near the airport where?
It's an RV resort, so it's limited to 30-day stays.
Okay, so we're going back to the thing.
It's
a tourist as opposed to a resident and an accident happening.
And a tourist is less likely to... complain about the noise or where they're at for the short period of time they're at than somebody that's there on a permanent basis type thing. But it is not right next door to the airport. It is out a little farther away than the development would be around the little airport here.
Yeah.
So it's, you know...
Well,
it's,
I just keep going back to...
it's within their influence.
I keep going back to thinking of the comment when we were discussing Pier Avenue and having residents on the top, and it would perhaps be all right to have vacation rentals, but not residents. And if you have an accident, a life's a life. I'm just kind of curious.
Right. Well, they're interested in safety as far as lives on the ground are concerned.
Yeah.
But they're also interested in noise.
The noise.
Noise impact.
Okay. Thank you. Those were the only questions I had of anyone.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Very good questions.
Other board comments or questions? Any reports? Any public comment on the board reports? Okay, hearing none. Item number 11, General Manager items for discussion.
Just the only thing is a follow-up on the meeting with the supervisors. We had very cordial meetings with Supervisors Ovitt, Supervisor Linthal, and Supervisor Patterson. And our board members handled themselves.
I wasn't going to comment on anything regarding this, but when you mentioned the benefit of the problems, yesterday I was out in the sand dunes, and I noticed, you know, how the camping has been restricted and cut down out there, especially from the last time I was out there. But on the sand dunes, you know, we've talked about, you know, the trash on Pier Avenue and what we accumulate there. Well, there's three or four dumpsters at marker two out there. They were filled up over the top, falling onto the ground, and then the debris from there was going into the dunes. And I was amazed, you know, that, you know, our state parks would let that happen to those dumpsters and not see that they're adequately removed when they're full or even halfway full. And then I was even more shocked that they allowed that debris to go into the dune habitat. And then when we were able to go right into the dunes, I noticed that they still have an old septic sewer canister area where they, I think the New Times did an article about their toilets out there a few years ago, dumped all over the one side to another. And it would be nice to see them take a little bit more interest in those dunes and keeping them clean. We don't have anything as, you know, the CSD to govern that, but the fact that debris then comes into our streets when it's too full out there, you know, we do have a concern there.
If there was one issue that the three members of the Board of Supervisors we talked to today was about state accountability in the future as opposed to the accountability that they've had in the past. And I think if there was one consistent issue that they were concerned about, it's that the state needs to follow through on what they have promised, and they've gone all the way back to the original coastal permits that were given, not coastal permits, but the original promises that were made in 1978. And I was a baby then, but I was at the council meeting in the Grover, council chambers in Grover when those discussions went on. And it's really interesting because, yes, you know, all of these things were said, you know, we'll take care of it, and it's not happening. One of the things that the two board members brought up that I wasn't aware of, and perhaps we might need to follow up on it, was the fact that this...
one other thing I wanted to mention is one of the supervisors said that they are looking at doing an environmental study, phase one, on contamination at the beach. I think that would be a very good idea in light of what you just told us.
Oh, yes.
And it would be good if maybe you could email to a particular supervisor and let them know where you saw this.
Excellent. That might be real good.
If you put it down in writing, I'll pass it on to Ola.
You know, speak just off, there's a subject right there. The lagoon, the water that comes into the lagoon from our surface streets, has that ever been tested and how that goes into the water out there, into the beach? Do we ever see any environmental studies on that?
I've not. Just a bunch of happy ducks, but other than that, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You would have to ask the county.
Speaking of that issue, that has to do with these new laws. That will have to do with these new laws coming out as far as drainage and any water leaving properties and going into water streams and that type of thing.
Stormwater runoff.
Yeah, that'll be a county responsibility.
Yeah, the ducks belong to the county.
Yeah. I hope they don't vote.
Once in a while, they line them up and have all their ducks in a row. But anyway,
I haven't seen it.
Are we still going to have a presentation on that program?
Yes.
Okay.
I promise you before I get out, I'll get that presentation to you.
Bill, I think, you know, you're talking about the restrooms and stuff, but they just are putting some new restrooms out there.
The restrooms that I'm referring to are the old blue restrooms.
Yeah.
and they've still got a dump ground out there where they store those amongst other garbage that they collected over the years, old fencing that's rusting away.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have some new containers for trash out there, too, but, you know, I don't go out there, so I
well, this,
can't
this
talk
weekend
to
they were, the campgrounds were sold out, and the trash gets pulled up. They pull those big containers up to the top of the ramp here, and then they go down and take them away, but you would think that they would maybe put tarp over the top of it when they get full to keep them from blowing.
Oh, yeah.
Something. Down there. Well,
you know, you go to Pismo and you go down by the pier and you see the seagulls just pulling the trash out of the trash cans, and the seagulls dump.
Yeah, causing us additional maintenance costs and worries. And the last I'd heard is they were going to wait until the end of summer before they considered putting that in, which is...
I believe we've had some news that they're moving a little faster with it now.
I would certainly hope so. That's unacceptable.
It's a little late to do it after summer's over.
Yeah.
They could pave during summer, but you know, not get a sand trap to filter in. So,
well, I'm glad to hear there's some motion there. I hope they actually do
we
come
haven't
through
seen it
with
installed
their
yet, but they're talking about doing it now.
Yeah. Well, I would urge them to continue with that project and finish it.
I saw the note on it.
Okay, any public comment on the general manager's reports? And any other board member items for discussion?
No.
Roger?
No.
Hamill? Bill?
No.
Okay. Brings us to item number 13, consideration of the warrants. And let's see.
Alex, I don't see you on the warrants.
I don't think I'm on the warrants.
Oh, good.
That's got to be a mistake. Yeah.
You working for free this period?
Just won't pay.
I noticed that we have the payment to the auditor on here, which I presume is in conformance to the contract, and
yes.
We've still got the kind of a general or a draft report, and we're awaiting the final report.
Should be on the next agenda.
Okay.
That's the plan at the moment.
Very good.
July the 11th.
And Mr. Crosby would be here then to discuss that with us. And
that was our last conversation.
Okay.
He's on vacation, so I haven't talked to him since.
The final state of California Parks and Recreation passed, that's for our community center, the money grant that they received?
$66,000 or something like that, yeah.
And that is the last money that we've been holding?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that was actually, we just got that from the state pursuant to that.
What we did a few months ago.
With that, I look for a motion.
Move, we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the warrants. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Brings us to item 14, public comment. Would any member of the public like to address the board at this time? Hearing none, are there any written communications?
The only thing that I have is a little letter for each of you updating you on what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. So don't get out of here without getting your copy.
Okay. And with that, we're adjourned.